Let us turn to Psalm 145 for a few moments. We'll look at verses 10 through to verse 15. And then tonight we'll give extra time afterwards for prayer, as is mentioned on the church calendar. But let's read then Psalm 145, verses 10 through to verse 13. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Dear congregation, we are in the presence of the King. Let us therefore bow before him. And as we do so, let us rejoice in him as we see at the end of the Psalter that exaltation that the children of the King are to rejoice in him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are so blessed to know him. Having been humbled, subdued by grace, we tonight can bow in adoration and praise him. In effectual calling, one is subdued by the Lord. The proud hill or the mountain is made low, and one is found at the feet of Jesus. And one has that new life, and a new song is found within. Praise unto the Lord, as we see in Psalm 40. And not only a new song, but there is a new conversation. And we have often talked about Jesus and his kingdom. Many like to sing. Many like to talk. And we do, ourselves. But oh, what a blessing it is, unlike so many, to be able to sing of the Lord and to talk about King Jesus. Since the Lord came to the heart of the elect sinner, often they are found meditating upon him, as with the psalmist in Psalm 45, speaking of him and delighting in his kingdom. And that's what we will consider briefly here tonight in Psalm 145. Just notice the title. We considered this a few years ago, David's Psalm of Praise. The Hebrew word is Tehillah, which is translated either as a song or a hymn. And as the old commentators point out, this was David's special hymn, inspired of the Lord, one he would often go to, one he would often meditate on, sing and read. And no wonder, for here the psalmist is so taken up with King Jesus. And it's good for us to keep going back to David's special hymn, to consider the Lord who is great and worthy to be praised, to note his grace in verse 8, and that he is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. What a comfort to consider his greatness in these days. And then also he is gracious when we are in the valley, when we're in a difficult strait, to know the gracious hand of the Lord, to rejoice that he is full of compassion. New every morning are thy mercies. Great is thy faithfulness. Compassion meets us each and every day. And it's good to focus on that. What a blessing we can sing. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. Oh, to keep coming back to this special hymn of David. Well, tonight we're going to particularly focus on the King and his kingdom. And we who are the subjects, what we are found doing. And so for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider the kingdom of King Jesus. And then secondly, the subjects of King Jesus. The subjects of King Jesus. First of all then, the kingdom of King Jesus. Verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. In a moment we'll consider the glory, but straight away are we not led to begin to admire the church and the beauty of the church and the special things therein and the righteousness that covers the people of God? Beautiful for situations, says the psalmist. Oh, we think of the glory of the kingdom. We live in a kingdom. It is still the United Kingdom. England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland. Some have recently determined that the kingdom would be broken up. However, still at this time, it is the United Kingdom. You recall in 1952, Queen Elizabeth became Queen of the United Kingdom. And after all these years, she is still reigning, fulfilling her duties and taking a great interest in the affairs of the King. Oh, consider Christ. He is the King of Kings. And he is still fulfilling his duties. And he takes a great interest in the kingdom. Well, we think of the kingdom of King Jesus. God has two particular kingdoms. His general kingdom and his special kingdom. We consider that he is king over all. And so we think of his general kingdom. He reigns over all. He sitteth upon the circle of eternity. Psalm 47 verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises and with understanding. He is the king of all the earth. He is sovereign. Oh, that men would bow the knee. And no wonder we read those words in Philippians chapter 2. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Because he is the king over the whole earth. Oh, that men would bow the knee. We see so few bowing the knee to King Jesus in this country. Oh, that yet many more would be humbled by grace, subdued by the king, brought to his feet, and found bowing in adoration before him. One day, all will bow the knee on the great day. We who love the Lord will bow in humility, lost in wonder and love. But those who have died in their sins, all unconverted on that great day, will be forced to acknowledge, forced to bow the knee, but they will still hate Christ. As we think of that great day when all will bow, are we not thankful that through grace we were called to bow in this life? For he is the king over all. We think of his general kingdom and it's all over the world. But then we think secondly of the other kingdom known as his special kingdom. The kingdom of God which was given to Christ, committed into his hand. You recall those words in Psalm 2 verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In Isaiah 42, mine elect. Psalm 2, my king. The kingdom was given to the king. It was committed into his hands. And he reigns over it. Our Lord said in Luke 22 verse 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. He was the chosen mediator, and we think he is the mediatorial king, and a kingdom was appointed unto him. We've often thought, have we not, in John chapter 17, that we were a gift to Jesus before the world was made. A gift, a gracious gift to King Jesus. Where he was given a kingdom. And he reigns over this kingdom. He said unto Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see how he uses the name church and kingdom interchangeably. There have been some who try to put a wedge between the kingdom and the church. But the Lord doesn't. The king of the church makes plain that the church is his kingdom. So that helps us to understand it a little more. He is king and head of the church. And then, just to bring it out a little further, we've heard this often, we think of the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. And those who will be found in the kingdom of glory are those who are found in the kingdom of grace, in the church. We can think of the church on earth and the church in heaven. The kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. The church of Jesus Christ. Now the visible aspect of the kingdom of grace is the visible church. What we see, you see me and I see you. The visible church. Well, we think of the kingdom of King Jesus. Just come with me to verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. You know, we could spend much time here. Here's David. He's rejoicing in God. He's rejoicing in God the Son. He was aware of Jesus as being the King. I will extol thee, my God, O King. And in this special hymn of praise, David's special hymn, he's led to consider the King. His heart is stirred. He thinks of the King as one who is reigning. I will extol thee, my God, O King. Now consider that Christ was King and exercised authority over his subjects before he came into this world. He is the King. He was pronounced King here upon earth. And then after his sufferings, it is seen that he was given the kingdom as a reward for special service. Yes, he ruled over the subjects, but it's seen as a reward for his sufferings. He was given the kingdom. And he had that kingly rule, which he made plain in Matthew 28, verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's particularly reigning there. He was crowned, was he not, when he entered into heaven and sat down. It's particularly seen, though he was reigning before he came into the world, it's particularly seen that after his sufferings, upon his resurrection, and then his ascension, and then sitting down, he reigns over the church. What a blessing to be in the kingdom of Christ. We've been delivered from one kingdom and brought into the kingdom of Christ. And so the apostle wrote in Colossians 1 verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In a wonderful way we were brought in, delivered from one place and brought into the kingdom. And the first one we knew was the King. And we were brought to his feet and we bowed to him, drawn by grace, subdued by grace, caused to bow by grace, found with a willing heart by grace. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, what grace has done. And you consider, because of grace, where you are tonight. You're in the kingdom of Christ. We were brought in. Oh, that many would, through grace, seek the Lord and seek to be found in the kingdom. You recall a few weeks ago, we considered those words in Luke 16, verse 16. The law of the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. This pressing in. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. So many pressing in. We were caused to be drawn and we pressed in, but oh, for so many to press in. That's what we long for, isn't it? It's happened in times past. It's happening today in certain places, over it to happen here. For men to press in. Think of a crowd trying to get into a room. I believe I was around 9 years of age, and with some of the children and young people at Totten in those days, we were taken to London on a coach, and it had been arranged that we would go to a certain place and we would watch a Christian film, and I think it was Chariots of Fire. So we all got on the coach, we went up to London, and we got to the place where we were going to watch the film. And I remember there were so many there, going up these staircases, and we had to wait a little near the top, because there were so many people trying to get in. Oh, that that would happen today. We're willing to open our doors, aren't we? Here in the chapel, every day, if there was such a drawing. And oh, then the Christ, the door would open. And sinners would be brought in to the kingdom, led to Jesus, who is the door, and brought into the kingdom. Oh, that the kingdom of God would suffer violence, that many would press in. So many would be convicted of their sin and led to see the suitableness of Christ. Well, let's pray to the King. Mindful of the kingdom here, and the extent of the kingdom, that many in this area would be drawn in. Oh, to speak to the King as we think of the kingdom. I will extol thee, my God, O King, to praise him that we are found in the kingdom. To praise him for the beauty of the kingdom and to plead with him that men would be brought in to his kingdom. But at this point, as we draw to a close, let's consider a number of things. Firstly, the presence of the King in the kingdom. The presence of the King in the kingdom. Now just come with me to verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. And what's part of the weight, the honour, the glory of the kingdom? It's because King Jesus is in the midst. He is known in heaven, in that part of the kingdom there, in the kingdom of glory. He is known here upon earth, in the gatherings of the saints. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. It's a wonderful thing that out of all the places in this forest tonight, Jesus came in the midst of us. Precious words, aren't they? Psalm 48, verse 2 and verse 3. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. The King is known. People are looking to Jerusalem in those days. God's presence was known. The presence of the King. Oh, the people would look in this area. And around the whole world. That the church would be the joy of the whole earth. Because people recognize the King is there. Verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. The city of the great King, King Jesus, and he's God. Just pause. The Psalms show us so often the deity of Christ, that he is God. The city of the great King, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. The King walks in the midst of his subjects. And that's a great comfort there, isn't it? The Lord is known in the palaces for a refuge. And so whether it be us here, or the brethren in Holywell, Salisbury, Cardiff, Swansea, Totten, Southampton, Barnstable, wherever the little palaces are, the King is known. And that's wonderful, isn't it? We can be here and knowing the presence of the King. The brethren in Holywell can be there and knowing the presence of the King. Where two or three are gathered. He's known there and he's known in the palaces for a refuge. Think of the local congregation. It's a palace. And the little palaces. And the Lord is known in each one of them for a refuge. He visits his people. in the gatherings of the saints. You think at certain times the Queen goes to different parts of the country. She's been to Salisbury, that's the closest I've known her to be here. And I just missed her by a few moments when I went to Salisbury on that occasion. But the Queen goes to different places where the King of Kings makes a visit. He goes to different places. But here's the wonder of wonders. Because many of the congregations meet at the same time on the Lord's Day, he visits them all at the same time. God is known in our palaces for a refuge. He comes. He pays us a visit. Oh, to think of that every time we gather. That Jesus is coming. And he's coming to pay me a visit. Hebrews 2 verse 12, you listen to Jesus here. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He comes right into the midst in a special way. And he delights in the people and he leads the song. Will I sing praise unto thee? He is God, so he receives the praise. But as the mediator, as our friend, he comes alongside and he leads the song. Will I sing praise unto thee? You know, that's why it's good, isn't it? When we come to visit him and the psalms and the songs, we focus on Jesus because he leads the song. The king leads the subjects in the sweet psalmody. Listen out for Jesus. He's in the midst. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. You see, he makes the Father known to the people of God. And he leads the singing. The presence of the King is enjoyed. And fellowship with him is known. One of old wrote, Jesus, we look to thee. Thy promised presence claim. Thou in the midst of us shalt be assembled in thy name. One may feel weary. And they come along to church. You plead the promise. And focus on the promise that the Lord will be in the midst. Plead the promise. Let's be often pleading the promise. At times we feel our smallness. But let's remember we have a great King who visits us. Plead the promise. That where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. Secondly, the kingdom advances here upon earth. The kingdom advances here upon earth. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. We think again there of the glory of the kingdom. Christ is in the midst. There are the beautiful things which we will consider in a moment. But here's another glory. The kingdom extends. It advances here upon earth. And it's good to remember it, isn't it? How the devil wants to whisper. Look at the smallness. Look what's happening in this country. Oh, it's good to remember. The kingdom advances. Yes, we're living in a country. And we're seeing dwindling congregations. We're in the majority, rather, aren't we? Because we represent the typical congregation in this country. But let's remember the kingdom is advancing in this world. Thy kingdom come, we pray, do we not? Let it be advanced. How the old Puritans, when they noted those words, thy kingdom come, saw the advance of the kingdom of Christ here upon earth. It will come in greater power. There will be advance. And this is confirmed in Psalm 72 verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Our King has much more work here to do upon earth in light of that psalm. from the river unto the ends of the earth, from sea to sea. People all over this world will be found believing in Jesus. It gives encouragement, doesn't it, to the missionary to go forth. We think of the missionaries tonight. It gives encouragement for the gospel minister to plough on, sowing the seed afterwards, because the kingdom will advance. It gives encouragement to the Sunday school teacher, the youth leader. It gives encouragement to the parent, the grandparent, to labour on, bringing the gospel to children, because of the advance of the kingdom. Our Lord said in Luke 13, verse 19, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. From small beginnings, the church began to grow. And do you know what our Lord said there? A grain of mustard seed, and it grew, and it waxed a great tree. What stage are we at the moment? We're at the growing stage. We're at the advancing stage. And that will continue up until Christ returns. You know, it's good just to focus on what Jesus says. To focus what we read in the Old and New Testament as well. From a small beginning, the church will expand. Thirdly, the kingdom will last forever. Revelation 11 verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now there are some who take that to refer to being fulfilled when the Lord comes again. But your pastor, with some of old the Puritans and others today, believe that speaks of the advance of the kingdom in these days, that the kingdom will increase gospel endeavour, and the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Such will be the power and reign of Christ, that the kingdom of grace, the visible part of it, will be seen all around this world. And that's confirmed, isn't it? For out of every kindred, there will be those found rejoicing in Jesus on that great day. From every tribe, and there's still so many tribes yet to be reached with the gospel. Well, we think of the kingdom, it's advanced, the kingdom is growing. Oh, what a wonderful day. The kingdom will continue to grow. And one day there will be the full manifestation of the kingdom at the second coming of Christ. Remember those words of Christ to the people of God? Matthew 25, verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, how great the kingdom will be. It will last forever. We're told in Revelation 11, verse 15, and he shall reign forever and ever. Till he comes, he will continue to subdue. Through grace, people will be brought in. After that great day, he will reign over the happy subjects for all eternity, and he will reign forever and forever. I love hearing those words sung, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. It lifts the soul. I remember a few years ago being in the Albert Hall one winter's evening, hearing those words, he shall reign forever and ever. And he will. And so the kingdom will last forever. And when we think of the kingdom, it's made up, is it not, of royal subjects. And we will be with Christ forever and ever. There in the presence of the King, we will rejoice in him, and we will marvel at the nail prints. And we will utter words of praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. The King will be praised. And we are so privileged. We're going to be there, praising the King forever and ever. Well, we haven't got time to go to our second point, but as we close, we must just note the glory of the kingdom. Verse 11, they shall speak the glory of thy kingdom. The glory, the honour, the King is there. The kingdom's advancing. There are the blessed ordinances. There are the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's table, where we particularly remember Christ. There is worship, there's food for the soul, there's the fellowship of the saints. Oh, there is the glory of the kingdom. And as you think of the saints, they're all covered in the robe of Christ's righteousness. The King has given us a robe. All these things just begin to lead us to consider the glory of the kingdom. Where the psalmist says in verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King. And as we sing, and as we read these words, let's be talking to King Jesus. That's what the psalmist did. That's what we will do. And we will praise him. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. Here's the psalmist speaking to God the Son, the King. Let's speak to our King every day. Every day he lifts the golden scepter. He bids us, you come near. Let me hear thy voice. Let's respond. I will bless thee every day. Well, may the Lord help us to respond to the King tonight. And may we in these difficult days focus on him and the kingdom. It's a wonderful kingdom. And there is the advance of the kingdom. And who knows soon, we may see people around this forest pressing in to the kingdom. The Lord is able. He will work out his purposes. Oh, that many would be humbled by the King in this area, and that people will take note that there is a King here in this place. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us come then to the Lord.